Welcome to Demystifying Franchise Ownership, the podcast that brings you expert advice, transparency, and clarity around franchise ownership. Whether you are a prospective or current franchisee or franchisor, or simply curious about the topic, say hello to your host, Christine Givens.
Welcome back to Demystifying Franchise Ownership, where I share my knowledge, experience, and hard-earned lessons learned about franchise ownership. This is part two of my interview with Dave Hands, a Great Clips franchisee who's been operating for 17 years and has grown his empire, or their empire, he and his wife Tanya, to 37 locations that span Illinois and Iowa. I'm sure Dave probably wouldn't like the use of empire. He's very humble. If you didn't catch part one of the interview, please go back and listen to episode 28. In that episode, Dave talks about his journey as a Great Clips franchisee, or their journey, including a time when they opened a location, yes, in 2 weeks. He also talks about what he attributes to their longevity and why they believe an employee focused culture is so important to their business. My opening question in this episode is, what has been their biggest challenges over the last 17 years? So what would you say has been your biggest challenge or challenges in the last 17 years?
COVID for sure was a huge challenge.
Interesting.
We all had to learn as we went along. If you let your employees go and let them go on unemployment, you didn't know that the state of Illinois was going to offer them twice their hourly pay as compensation. But then if you did the right thing and kept your employees employed, then they were mad at you during COVID because they could have made twice as much on government assistance during that time. And so here we are as business people learning as we go and trying not to make the wrong choices. COVID was wildly challenging. And I would say that, compared to my top two competitors, we handled COVID significantly better simply because we kept in touch with our employees in the 3 months that the government shut us down. We used Facebook and we used videos to let everybody know it's going to be okay. Here we are. We're here. Those familiar faces. We're here for you when you come back. We're helping you with whatever you need. We kept somebody in the office to help them with any. We gave loans to our employees, and so that was the biggest challenge. And I think the other biggest challenge in the last 17 or 18 years has been government. Government. I'm going to try not to go off on a political tangent with you, Christine, but I think one of the biggest challenges that we have COVID will go away. It'll be a thing of the past, like Hurricane Katrina, but government is a thorn in small businesses' side in the state of Illinois, not in Iowa. And I'm not trying to I am making a political statement, but I will just say that it's really hard when the government's constantly working against you with workers' compensation and unemployment claims and all kinds of different things in this state. I would recommend opening a business in a different state. Honestly, that's been a constant ongoing challenge here.
I had a thought too when you
that was kind of scathing. I'm sorry, I didn't mean
to be
so scathing, but really, I mean, it just seems like every time I turn around, I'm dealing with somebody throwing a 2x4 against my head from the government. It's hard.
It's reality.
It is.
It's the reality, right? And it does increase the cost of doing business. It's something to consider when you're looking at where you want to open a business.
Yeah. Which is fine if it's reasonable, but when it's unreasonable, it's frustrating.
Yeah. We had the brand in which I invested, they offered, not in every salon, but they, in their corporate locations, they offered alcohol. So a beer.
Cool.
When you came in and had a service done. Mm-hmm. In Illinois, and not in all states, but in Illinois, you had to get a liquor license, basically, even though you're not charging for it or anything. And so, yes, I had to go through all of the red tape associated with that. And it was definitely not worth the extra, what it gave to the the customer experience. I mean, people loved it, but I don't think it was worth the extra hassle.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, we've only been doing business in Eastern Iowa for 2 years now, but it's given me a different perspective on
interesting
how things could be.
Yeah. So what would you say have been your biggest achievements in the last 17 years?
I love this question because I love to talk about the leader of our company, and she is her title is the Director of Field Operations. Okay, so here's a I should say her age, but I don't know exactly. So I'll tell you this story. In 2005, when we opened our first salon in Peoria, Illinois, Tanya and I were so green at this, right? We were just literally working out of binders on how to do this thing. We hired this young lady to be a stylist. She was 22 years old. We almost terminated her because she didn't keep a clean station at one point. It's funny looking back because now here we are 18 years later. And this is somebody that we pulled out because she had those skills, ability to make decisions, diplomatic. She really embraced the brand measures that make us great. Anyway, 18 years later, she is now our director of field operations. So in an org chart, everything flows down directly from her. Those five general managers report to her. And then 8 to 10 salon managers each report to the GMs. Now, our greatest achievement was the fact that we picked out this young lady at 22 years old. She had a child. She was a single mom, handicapped child. And over the over the next 18 years, she has become smarter than us. A GED. She is the epitome of what makes us great. And we built that. We picked her out and we take credit for that. We picked her out and we said, this is somebody that could do great things. But I had no idea that, you know, I can turn off my phone for 5 days and comfortably know that everything's going to get taken care of because of her. So there's my biggest achievement. Our other biggest achievement, I think, is just as far as Great Clips franchise ease go, we consistently stay atop the ranking lists for performance. And but it's really, really in the end, and I don't want to get all sappy, but in the end, the biggest achievements are when you see somebody grow the way that she has. And we have many different examples of people grown in our organization that way.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that I'm sure you've encountered when you've gone through your hiring, is they have the ability to grow beyond standing behind the chair, or maybe they want to do something more.
Absolutely. It all comes down to making good decisions, using good judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is franchise ownership what you expected?
One's a very humorous example. When I went into this in 2005, my intention was going to be to spend 95% of my time driving revenue, right? I'm coming out of corporate America. It's all about driving revenue. Everything's about driving revenue. So I'm going to spend 95% of my time thinking of ways to drive customers into the chairs in my hair salons, 95%. Now, the other 5% I'll spend on things like human resources, policy and procedures, that kind of thing. Well, I quickly learned that it was exactly the other way around. I spent 95% of my time dealing with human resources, government, and other things. And I'd be lucky if I spent 5% of my time driving revenue. So that I didn't expect it. I also didn't expect, in corporate America for those 19 years, when I had a position, whether it was as a regional manager or a vice president, there was a degree of respect that you just had because of your title and your place in the corporate structure. Yeah. So when I went from that to franchise ownership, and I am faced with, you know, my first 10 employees, I didn't have any, there was no respect. There was none of that I was used to getting. They were like, we don't care who you are, you know? And at first it sounds ugly, but at first I was like, well, wait, I'm the owner. You know, this is good. Now you haven't earned crap with us. And I look back now and I did not expect that. I didn't expect, and now I embrace it, and I love it because we've earned their respect. Mm-hmm. That was a surprise to us. We threw a party before we opened our first salon. You know, back in corporate America, you want to get on your employees' good side, you open a bar tab, and mm-hmm. and we threw a party before we opened our first break club, and nobody showed up. What's in it for, we're like, and we're like, well, but the boss is throwing a party. You kind of feel like you have to go. No, it wasn't like that. So, it took a long time. It was very lonely the first year, people were like, and so that was a shock. And then, I did expect somewhat of a turnkey thing to happen, and that I thought, okay, I'm going to open up my great clubs. I was going to open three great clubs. That was how I started. I bought a three pack. Mm-hmm. With great clubs, I'm going to open three great clubs in, I think, 3 years. So I thought, this is going to be great. I'll open them. I'll hire somebody else to do all my work and all my hard thinking in this. It was 5 years before I really could actually start giving some of the work to employees, and that took a lot longer. And so when I have these interviews, I have these calls from prospective franchisees looking at great clubs, and I get those same naive questions: how long before I can move to Florida and forget about all this and just make the money? I mean, I really am telling them, don't leave for the weekend for the first year. I mean, it's so there were a lot of that was a very good question. There were a lot of things that I did not expect as a franchise owner. A lot of shockers in that first year. It's not turnkey. It's not in the same day. You're changing a toilet at 8 a.m. and meeting with lawyers at 3 p.m. in the same. Right.
You wear so many hats. You're the CEO, the CIO, the CFO, everything.
Yeah. But until you earn their back to that respecting, but until you show them who you are, it could take months or years. You're just the paycheck. And that was a shocker for us. Mm-hmm. We're like, but we really care. But those are just words until you show you do,
How has the industry changed since you got into it? Because you've been in it now close to 20 years.
Yeah. Well, COVID knocked a bunch of players out. I'll tell you that. Hmm. COVID, the industry hasn't changed. When Tanya and I sat down, remember with that bottle, I'd just been fired. We sat down with that bottle of wine and looking at the franchise 500 list, trying to decide what to do with our lives. One of the things that we said is, let's find a business that won't change in 20 years. Hmm. With Amazon taking over so much stuff and technology changing, that's one of the reasons we took on Hair, as we said, this is something that really shouldn't change. So to answer your question, over the past 18, 19 years, the walk-in value-priced haircut business hasn't changed much. And Grey Clips has revolutionized it with technology, I think. I mean, we introduced the first app, online check-in app, back in 2013. I mean, other competitors have, eventually caught on and have tried to put that kind of thing out. But we made it so that you could be sitting in your office at 4 o'clock and take out your app and check in for a haircut 30 minutes later, depending on, which way you were going to be driving when you left the office, and walk right in and get a haircut. Mm-hmm. That was actually as boring as it sounds. And that was revolutionary. But other than that, the industry has not changed much.
Have you seen the franchise industry change much? Would you, or you maybe aren't, because you're on the franchisee side, maybe you're not seeing trends or anything.
One of my goals is to go to the IFA meetings and get more involved in what's going on out there in franchising. Maybe watch your podcast more often, listen to your podcast more often. But I don't really know much about what's going on out there. We took a stab at buying another franchise about 10 years ago. And it was something that was, I won't use the name, but it.
Yeah, we talked about it when,
We showed up at their convention, and it was a franchise that was owned by a private equity, and they owned other franchises. And we showed up and met a bunch of the executives that had been there for like a month, and a month later they were gone. It was that kind of and then we just kept comparing our experience to great clubs. The stability, the executives that rose from the ranks and have been there and never changed. And we realized, wow, the whole franchise industry isn't as awesome as my franchisor is. Mm-hmm. Nobody's writing me a check to say that. It's just, the truth. But I found out that this franchise that Tanya and I got into, we got out a year later and sold it for what we paid to get into it, and felt glad to get right back to our great clubs. Do one thing and do it well, right?
Yeah, right. You were lucky that you got your money out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very much so. Wow. Well, what a 17-year ride, huh?
It's not not the sharpest knives in the drawer. It's all about figuring out who that works for you, works with you, is talented, and giving them what they need to grow, and then stepping back and watching it happen. It's it's all about developing people, really. It's been a great ride.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and talking about your experience, because it certainly is different having gone into an established franchise when you went in. When did Great Clips start franchising? What year?
Oh, 1980, I think.
So a long time before you went in. I really, to your point about the stability, I think that's such a huge part. If you want or are thinking about going into an emerging franchise, which you really have to vet the organization hard if you're going to do that, is look at the leadership team.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm just going to tell you a really fast, funny story. So back when we were looking at the top walk-in haircut salons in 2005, there was a new player in the market, and very exciting. And a lot of times I think the glitz and glamour of a new franchise is something that is really kind of, you know, you look at Great Clips, it's been around for a while, old and stodgy, not really, but you know, this one was all shiny and new. And we sat down with their franchise salesperson, and he said, yeah, of course, you know, we do haircuts, but the real money is in when they come in to get their haircut in the lobby and they're waiting for their haircut, we're going to sell them sports memorabilia. Yeah, like signed footballs and things like that. That's it. And that's when my wife and I said, check please. And you know, it was at an O'Hare restaurant we were at, and we said, these guys don't know what they want. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can probably figure out the franchise by what I said. Mm-hmm. Let me just tell you, 2 years later, they weren't selling sports memorabilia in the lobby. So if you're going to pick out a franchise, there's something to be said about picking out a franchise that's been through 10 years of mistakes. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be shiny and glitzy and new, like right now the pickleball franchises are really hot, or cracked iPhones, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But there's something to be said about going with a franchise that spent 10 years reinventing itself every year 10 times to get that perfect mix. In my case, Great Clips was 25 years when we got into it, and not a lot has changed because they went through their mistakes when they first probably started franchising, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So yeah, sports memorabilia, you know, that's wait, I thought I was here for a haircut. Yeah, this Don Shula signed football for $1,800 to go with your $15 haircut. I'm like,
yeah, know your audience. Come on, right?
Well, they did. And you know, they're a very viable business. They're a great business. But at that moment in time, they're just getting started and trying to figure out themselves. Well, as a franchisee who's going to invest significant money, I'm not interested in investing my money in somebody who's still trying to figure out the recipe.
Yeah, because you're paying a lot of money. I spoke to someone who's considering franchise ownership recently. He and I connected on LinkedIn, and he said he's blown away at the cost to get in, just the initial franchise fee. And he was told, I think, by a franchise consultant, it's because of they're having to pay these organizations, the sales organizations, to go out and sell. But you're paying a lot of money to get into an emerging brand. You really have to understand that the leadership team is strong, the business model is strong.
A lot of them are just building a brand to sell it. You know, what's this going to look like 5 years down the road? Well, I can tell you, my 35-year-old franchise is going to look a lot the same, a lot like it does now in 5 years. And mm-hmm. I think that's reassuring. Better, sharper, you know, but we're not going to change our business model. That's mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to get a walk-in haircut at a reasonable cost. You know, with comfort, freedom, and connection, and you're going to get in and out and back to your day. And mm-hmm. it's going to be a great experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Dave, so much for coming on for your first podcast interview. It's been amazing. Tell the listeners how they can find you.
I think LinkedIn. I don't think you're going to run into a lot of people with the last name Hands. It's spelled just like it sounds, H-A-N-D-S, David Hands. Definitely connect with me on LinkedIn, and I wish you well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it, also, if you put Greg Clips in there, I'm sure
Greg Clips. Greg Clips, David Hands, Peoria, Illinois.
Okay, excellent. Well, thanks so much, Dave. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for letting me ramble.
Oh, no, thank you. Again, thank you to Dave Hands for sharing his story about what it's like to be a Great Clips franchisee. He and his wife, Tanya, have been doing this for 17 years, so they've experienced and seen so much. I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk to him. If you're currently evaluating a franchise system, you should get my guide called The Ultimate Step-by-Step Guide to Vetting and Evaluating a Franchise Opportunity. You can access that on my website, christinegivens.com. If you want to send me a message, go to the contact page on my website. As always, tune in next week, and thanks for listening.